All right, here we go. Episode number 3. I am Caleb Hardwick, your host, and with me, as always, are my brothers. So who wants to go first this week?
Noah's pointing at me, so I guess I'll go first.
This is my younger brother, my junior by 3 years, Seth.
Thank you.
And with me is my older brother,
Noah,
who just peaked the microphones real bad.
Probably gonna have to redo that.
No, we'll just go with it. So, what's up, gentlemen?
School.
Work.
There you go. Then that's
same as always.
What about you?
Me? I'm glad you asked. Let's see. I don't know. What have I been doing?
Neither school nor work.
Yeah, I went swimming today.
That's always fun.
Yeah, you went swimming too.
That's true. Oh, and you know what else I did?
What?
I went to the Salt Bowl for the first time, like, ever.
That's true. In fact, and I've still never been to the Salt Bowl, ever.
In fact, that was my first football game I've ever been to.
Cool. So, tell us any exciting adventures?
I got lots of free stuff. That was fun because everything at the tailgate was free.
Wait, free stuff, why?
Because businesses wanted you to know that they're better than some other business.
So they gave you what?
Pencils and pens. And
so they're relying on the fact that your business will be given to them because of a pencil or a pen?
They also had hot dogs.
Oh, well, see, there you go. That's much more enticing, if you ask me. So what were you doing at the Salt Bowl?
Well, I was asked to go and help on the medical team for the event. So I had nothing else to do, so I was like, sure, why not?
Cool. So let's get started. Okay, so Noah sent me this article called What Do Christians Want from Christian Movies? And it was by Adam R. Holes. And it's published in the Washington Times. So, Noah sent me this article. It's got an interesting perspective on Christian filmmaking. And I thought we would talk a little bit about it. And I think it's interesting also because me and Mama just on Tuesday went and saw the movie Greater, which is a movie about the Arkansas Razorback player Brandon Burlesworth. And it actually had a lot of Christian content. So, this is a good time to talk about it. So, any quick thoughts on the article, Noah?
I really don't remember it very well because that was last week.
Here's the good news. I have it pulled up right here. So basically, he gives several just thoughts or insights about Christian films, and we'll just read them and discuss what we think about his thoughts. All right, so the first one, is he's trying to answer the question, what do Christian audiences want in a movie? And this is his first point. He says, Christians want movies that represent their theological convictions.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good. Very true. Because, I mean, you look at movies like the Noah movie or Exodus, Gods and Kings, and they did not do well in the box office. And I'm pretty sure you could say it's because they took a lot of liberties with the story. And I don't think Christians like that.
Right. And then the article here, the guy says that Christian audiences have a hard time when filmmakers tamper with beloved Bible stories, is basically, to paraphrase.
I don't like it when they tamper with any story.
Yeah.
When you're especially going to tamper with the Bible,
Let's be honest, the book is always better than the movie. And that goes for the Bible, too. So, there you go.
That's good theology.
Point number two, Christian audiences don't mind message-oriented movies that mainstream audiences might find preachy.
I find that a little surprising, but at the same time, the box office does seem to confirm that. The biggest movies like God's Not Dead and the Sherwood Pictures and some of the other ones that I'm forgetting at the moment, they're pretty explicitly Christian. They don't really hide much, and they just put it very obvious and upfront, you know.
But they get good box office.
Yeah, they are the ones that do the best. So
what does that say about Christians?
Christians want Christian stuff.
Is it kind of like Christians want to see a movie about the home team?
Well, yeah, you're definitely going to root for the home team.
So this is an example of basically Christians wanting to celebrate their own Christianity?
I would say that's a pretty good chance of that. I mean, you could definitely, I'm sure that some of them will say that it's for evangelistic purposes and getting their friends to go
sure.
see the movie yeah. with them. And that may happen sometimes. But I definitely say that there's a good chance that most of that are probably people that are already Christians.
So why is it that a lot of Christians don't want to go to church and be preached at, but don't mind going and supporting a movie that is just going to preach at them?
Are they the same Christians?
That's a good question.
And are they the same preachy?
Are we talking about people who are identifying themselves with Christians, that they're on the Christian team, or are we talking about people who are actually involved in a church?
Well, for what it's worth, the movies that are very preachy like that are often preaching to somebody who's not a Christian who becomes a Christian. And I think that Christians like that, and for good reason. I mean, we know that the Bible says that the angels rejoice when someone right. comes to God. So I think that there is definitely something to be celebrated for these stories where somebody comes to Christ. But at the same time, I'm not sure that that's quite the same as going to church and your pastor preaching a sermon about something that's more close to home, preachy, versus the story here.
So it's not that the movies themselves are preachy that Christians enjoy. It's that it's like a thematic version of what we think we already believe.
Yeah, and I mean, there's not inherently wrong there. I mean, I think it's a reminder maybe of your own story of how you came to Christ. And so there is something good there. But at the same time, I can see how it's a very similar plot that we've used
right.
repeatedly for almost every single one of these Christian movies.
Right. So that moves us to the next point.
Explosions?
Sort of. His is his next point. He says, Christian audiences haven't embraced edgier, grittier, faith-oriented fare. One criticism of the Christian movie genre is that it's been too sanitized and it hasn't effectively told messy stories.
Well, let's be honest. Even when we look at the messy stories in the Bible, we don't much like those. So why do we think that we're going to like the messy stories in the movies either? I mean, I know we've been reading Job a lot. I'm pretty sure, though, that's not a book of the Bible we generally like reading from. I mean, even while I'm reading it, I'm not sure I'm enjoying it entirely.
Yeah, it wouldn't make a very good movie.
No, probably would not.
It'd be like 2 hours of Job sitting around.
And then a big explosion at the end.
Yeah, basically.
I think this has similar ties into the whole Christian music, you know, the CCM of being too jolly.
Sterile.
And sterile of, you know, not involving the rest of the world. And, you know, I like what Brant Henson wrote about it, is that people, you know, if they've had a long day at work, they don't really want to go watch another film about bad things happening in the world, because every other film's like that. They want, you know, they want something that is a little more hope-oriented.
Right. So when people want to be entertained, they don't want to be convicted.
That's actually a pretty true statement, regardless of whether it's a Christian movie or not.
Is that true for church, too? People want to be entertained and not convicted?
That would be a very good chance of explaining some of the churches that we have today, yeah.
Right.
But I think your comparison to Christian music is very interesting, because I think that Christian movies are pretty newish. I mean, they've been around for a long time, but they've just recently started to gain traction as like they're almost their own genre.
Uh-huh.
Just like Christian music didn't really gain traction until late 80s, really, as its own genre, maybe mid 80s. And since then, of course, it's grown into a very big genre of its own. And I'm kind of wondering if Christian movies are take a very similar course, that we're just now starting to get into this as a much bigger industry. But what's interesting about that, though, is that out of that Christian music sort of grew like the Christian rock scene, which has very much kind of faded out and split off from the main Christian movie or Christian music industry as being a little bit less positive all the time. And I'm wondering, will that also happen with the movie industry? Will we get more movies that are a little bit they don't fit the Christian movie genre, and but still maybe make a little bit of their own popularity and outside of just the indie music or indie movie scene?
I don't know. It certainly might happen.
When we talk about the movies that I think we as a family enjoy, I think you can certainly say that we actually have the ones we have enjoyed the most are the ones that actually are kind of the outsider, slightly edgier, don't quite fit the mold Christian films. For example, we enjoyed the Ragamuffin movie, which was the story of
Rich Mullins.
Mullins, and basically the struggles he went through, all while being seen as kind of this Christian music icon.
Yeah, that's a really interesting one because, I mean, it's based on a true story, and it really kind of, what we remember Rich Mullins for is largely, you know, his music, which is very, very good and very much ahead of its time for the Christian music industry. But the movie really doesn't focus as much on that, but what was going on when he was writing the music, and it's not very Christian movie like.
Right. It admits that there's a lot of problems that a lot of Christian films don't want to talk about.
And the weird thing about it really though is that unlike the Christian movies where even if the movie begins that way, it never ends that way. But this is, since it's based on a true story, doesn't have that perfect ending.
Right. And there's something to be said for true stories that end like that. And that gets back to Greater, but first let's see some other Christian movies that we've enjoyed recently.
I liked the Believe Me movie about the guys that are trying to pay off their college debt. They start a fake Christian ministry to basically get people to give them money so they can use it to pay off their college bills.
Yeah.
I guess I have to watch it again, but I think the thing I kind of liked about it is it gets to the end of the movie and you get to the point where the guy tries to decide, you know, is he gonna do the right thing? Is he gonna do the wrong thing? And I'm not gonna go any further because I don't want to spoil the ending for you, but it was interesting.
So diving even deeper into the Christian film past, admittedly, one of the probably my all-time favorite Christian film has got to be The Buttercream Gang.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, I definitely like that.
Most people who are listening to this have probably never heard of the Buttercream Gang. So somebody fill them in.
Okay, so let's see. The basic plot line of the story is there's this group of kids that found and help people.
The Buttercream Gang.
And they're called the Buttercream Gang.
Yeah.
And let's see, didn't it say that they got the name because when all the men went off to the war or
something like that. They helped the women turn brother.
And that's how they got the name.
It's just basically about kids, you know, like teenagers, middle, like junior high-ish, and about growing up in a small town and, you know, kind of about how to be friends with people that don't want to be your friend.
Right. The central issue in the film is that one of the main characters goes to Chicago and becomes involved in gang culture there, then comes back to the small town and sees the gang there, which is, you know, a do-gooder club of kids who go and help old widows when they fall down. And it's their difficulty of trying to learn how to get along with each other after that experience. And it's a tale of forgiveness and friendship and the difficulty of getting along with people who are hard to get along with. And it is, for a film that's really marketed towards kids, it's a pretty gritty, edgy film. I mean, it's certainly not in any way crude or vulgar or offensive, but it deals with issues that are pretty difficult.
A teenager drinking alcohol in it, I think, doesn't it?
I don't
it?
Think he ever drinks alcohol.
He doesn't?
No, but
no,
they
he
do,
drinks pop.
They do smash some bottles on the train tracks, though.
I was thinking that they were drinking the bottles, but maybe not.
But admittedly, I mean, it was like an early 90s film, and I mean, they're wearing like gang bandanas and stuff. I mean, that's pretty edgy.
Actually, I think it's 80s. The clothes in it are very 80s.
I think it's like late 80s, early 90s, whatever. But even that is something that's not a clean, sterile film, even though it is certainly a very family-friendly film. It was something that actually did manage to touch on hard issues.
And it is interesting because it gets to the end and, you know, it sort of resolves it, but it's not exactly a perfect resolution.
It's not a perfect ending. You're right. So I don't know where in the world you can find this movie, if anywhere.
It's on Amazon.
I am sure that it's available online somewhere.
If you, even if it means you have to buy like a used VHS copy and drag out your VHS player and hook it up, definitely go find that movie. Highly recommended by the Hardwicks, called The Buttercream Gang. Okay, so now it's time for a word from this week's sponsor.
For six-year-old Faith and the Graham family, life in the Midwest centers around God, family, and football.
Daddy, you're the best football coach ever!
Until one Friday night.
Faith fell off the bleachers.
In the middle of their stormiest storm ever,
I think we might lose Faith.
The Grahams are forced to believe.
What we need is a miracle.
But through the power of love, prayer, and Chris Tomlin, Faith returns to the ground.
She's waking up.
Mommy, I saw an angel.
What?
He was on the football field. He got me and ran me in for a touchdown to heaven.
Inspired by every Christian movie ever. A Crosslight Hope Water production, starring Kirk Cameron, Roma Downey, and the Hispanic guy from Courageous. The most Christian film of the year. Touchdown by an Angel. Coming to theaters this fall.
So Seth has been called out on the fire run, so joining us now for this segment of the show is our mother, Ms. Carla Hardwick.
Hello!
So you were going to tell us about a movie that you went and saw this week.
Right, so me and Mama, on Tuesday night, we went and we watched a movie called Greater. You may have heard of it. It's a movie about a Arkansas Razorback football player named Brandon Burlesworth. We went and saw this film with some other of our family, some other extended Hardwick family, and I think we had different thoughts on it, but I think in the end we both agreed that it was had value as a film.
It really did. I thought it had more value than what I expected. I expected to just go and look at the scenery from Arkansas, and I like anything that's filmed in Arkansas. That's primarily why I went, but I was surprised that I actually got a little bit out of the movie. It was interesting.
Yeah, I expected it would just be a low-budget film, you know, targeted towards, you know, Arkansas Razorback fans. It's a pretty low-budget film. It's for the low budget, I thought it was well shot. Like, I thought, you know, visually it was pretty well appealing.
It was. It was beautiful. It was Arkansas.
You know, a lot of low-budget films, you just get kind of weird camera angles, so it, like, switches back and forth between two visions, and it's just kind of weird. But I thought for the budget, it was well shot. I give it props on that. Decent screenplay. I mean, like, the way it was written was pretty good. Not great. You know, average.
I'm going to jump in and tell you what I didn't like about it.
Okay.
I thought some of the actors in it were really not good.
Definitely. If the biggest drawback in the film was the acting. So you might give it a B for the way it was shot, like a C for the screenplay, and like a D for the acting.
Yeah, that's where I would be too.
Yeah, so maybe an overall like a C+, which isn't that great, but there was certainly some redeeming values to this film.
Well, it wasn't every actor either. You know, some of the actors were okay.
Yeah, certainly. You
know? Sorry, Arkansas extras.
Yeah, sorry, Arkansas extras. You tried your best.
Yeah, that might have been the problem.
So, yeah, one of the things I did love most about the film, actually, was it just had a ton of Arkansas references that if you're an Arkansas sports fan, you get. And I know I didn't get all of them, but, I mean, I enjoyed the fact that there was just so many iconic Arkansas sports figures in the film.
Cameos.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that Houston Nutt was a janitor in the film is pretty cool. I mean, plus you had the real voices of Chuck Barrett, and David Basil made an appearance, and Frank Broyles was in there too. So if you're an Arkansas sports fan, you'll love that. You'll enjoy that part.
I love Brandon Eales.
Brandon Eales as his father. Is that right?
Right. He played his father, Paul Eales, and that was special.
Yeah.
I'm sure that must have meant a lot to their family.
So while we enjoyed that aspect, the part that surprised me the most, actually, was how overtly Christian it was. I didn't expect that going in.
I didn't either, really. And yet you say overtly Christian. It was not one of these preachy films like what we're talking about. I didn't feel it was.
Not so much as maybe some movies. It was pretty preachy at times.
Did it have a clear presentation of the gospel?
No. It was not that kind of Christian film. And in fact, honestly, I feel it was a better Christian film than most overtly Christian films.
So what do you mean by that?
A lot of Christian films try to use the gospel as a way to resolve a conflict, right? It's kind of a stereotype of Christian films.
It's definitely become something of a cliche in Christian movies.
It's a formula.
Right. Basically what happens, something bad happens, then God enters the scene somehow, whether it's through somebody being saved or through a miracle or something, and then everything turns out okay for the Christians, right? But that's kind of the formula most Christian movies make or whatever. And I felt like Grater actually did a good job. Instead of trying to use like the gospel to resolve the conflict, spoiler, it's based on a true story. Brandon Burlsworth dies. And so,
if you live in Arkansas, you already know that.
Right.
That's not a spoiler.
Right. And so, right there, you see that it's not going to have this, you know, something bad happens, enter Jesus, everything turns out okay. Because in the end, the reality is he died. So, the main character in the film is not going to experience that. So,
I was surprised at how much doubt they interjected into the film about God. That doubt that God was going to show up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't usually do that in a Christian film.
Right. It's like a lot of Christian films are kind of one-dimensional. They use that same set of everything's going to turn out okay if you believe in God. And that's good because that's true. But it's kind of one-dimensional. It doesn't address the times that doesn't happen, where you may be a Christian, but things don't turn out the way you want.
I was going to say, it may all turn out all right, but it doesn't mean that it's going to turn out the way you want.
Right. Exactly. Here's the thing about it. The film doesn't try to explain why Burlsworth dies, but it does try to explain why we should trust God despite the fact that he did die.
But does it actually try to explain that, but just not answer? I mean, isn't that kind of the point of the movie, though, is it is kind of trying to understand why this is happening?
No.
But
No,
okay.
It doesn't explain why.
It doesn't try to address. And that's the interesting thing, is when the film begins, it actually begins after he's died, right? And it kind of flashes back and forward throughout the movie. But it begins by showing a sign in Harrison that says, "Lord, help us understand why." And so that's the fundamental question that it tries to answer from the beginning, or at least that's what it makes you think. But as you watch the movie, you see that that's not true. And you get to the end and you see that it actually ends with a scene that uses the words, "we trust." So instead of trying to explain why Brandon Burlsworth dies, it actually ends up answering or saying that we don't have to understand why. Ultimately, we just have to trust.
And as Noah has already mentioned, I think once in our podcast tonight, we've been kind of reading through Job, and that's the same message as in Job.
Yeah. And that's actually the thing I was most impressed about this movie was the way that it actually uses the wisdom of the wisdom books in the Bible, and it works you through all three of them, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Job, to get to that conclusion. Early on in the film, it shows Brandon Burlsworth, and he's doing everything right, and his life is doing well because of it. And his brother, who's really the main character in the movie, notices that, and he says, "See, you've done everything right. That's why your life's turning out well." And then, of course, when Burlsworth dies, then his brother's faced with this predicament. How could it be that you live so well, and yet things didn't turn out the way you want? So that first part is like the book of Proverbs, where it's like gives you all this advice, all this wisdom, and it says, "Live this way and your life's going to turn out well." And that second part's like the book of Ecclesiastes, discusses that topic of how can it be that life isn't as predictable as we want. Even if you do live right, sometimes things don't turn out the way we want them to. And then, like you said, it kind of ends with the book of Job, where it says, ultimately, we're not at a position high enough to see everything that's going on to understand why God allows things that don't seem good to us to happen. And to me, that's actually a better theological message than most Christian movies.
I agree. It's true. I got the same thing out of it.
The question then is will most people pick up on that? I mean, we picked up on it, you did, because you've been reading Job. Will most people pick up on that, though?
I don't think most people pick up on it necessarily being that it follows Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Job, but I think it can certainly get that message that even when you live right, sometimes things don't go the way we want them to, but it doesn't matter. We should still trust God because he's in a higher position and can see more than we can. In fact, that's alluded to in the movie when it's talking about on the football field. They make this reference to Clint Sterner, and Brandon says, you know, you just got to trust the coaches. They can see the whole field. You can only see one direction. And that's kind of the point, is we can't see why God allows some things to happen, but he's up in the press box and can see the whole field. He understands what's going on better than we do.
Well, why don't we just ask all of our listeners to go see it and give us some feedback on it and tell us what they thought of it?
Yep, that's a good idea. So leave us a message on facebook.com/HardwickPodcast or on this episode at HardwickPodcast.com. Thank you for listening. I hope you've enjoyed it. Music for this episode included Aliens Ate My Babysitter, Wednesdays on the Beach, and Spyro Grip Me Tighter, all by Bobby Prince. Also included was Where My Heart Will Take Me by Russell Watson. On behalf of the rest of the Hardwicks, until next time, thank you for listening.